Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Puerto Rico Bankruptcy and Federal Preemption Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On June 13, 2016, the Supreme Court decided Puerto Rico v. Franklin California Tax-Free Trust, consolidated with its companion case, Acosta Fabo v. Franklin California Tax-Free Trust. Concerned that its public utilities were on the verge of insolvency, but could not obtain Chapter 9 bankruptcy relief under federal law, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico attempted to circumvent this obstacle by passing its own municipal bankruptcy law. This law, the Puerto Rico Public Corporation Debt Enforcement and Recovery Act, expressly provides different predictions for creditors than those in federal Chapter 9. Investors who collectively hold nearly $2 billion in bonds issued by one of Puerto Rico's public utilities worried that it might seek relief under the new Puerto Rico law and sued in federal court, challenging the law's validity and seeking injunctive relief. The district court enjoined the enforcement of the new law, and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit affirmed. Puerto Rico sought certiorari. The question before the Supreme Court was whether Chapter 9 of the Federal Bankruptcy Code preempts the Puerto Rico statute, creating a mechanism for the Commonwealth's public utilities to restructure their debts. By a vote of 5-2, the Supreme Court affirmed the judgment of the First Circuit. Justice Thomas delivered the opinion of the court, which held that in excluding Puerto Rico from the definition of a state for purposes of defining who may be a Chapter 9 debtor, Congress prevented Puerto Rico from authorizing its municipalities to seek Chapter 9 relief. But because Puerto Rico remains a state for other purposes of Chapter 9, the court indicated, Chapter 9's preemption provision still bars Puerto Rico from enacting its own municipal bankruptcy scheme to restructure the debt of its insolvent public utilities companies. Justice Thomas's majority opinion was joined by the Chief Justice and Justices Kennedy, Breyer, and Kagan. Justice Sotomayor filed a dissenting opinion, which was joined by Justice Ginsburg. Justice Alito took no part in the consideration or decision of the cases. To discuss the case, we have David Skeel, who is the S. Samuel Arsh Professor of Corporate Law at the University of Pennsylvania School of Law, and who submitted an amicus brief in support of the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Skeel.
So the background is that as of 1984, Puerto Rico's municipalities were and have been excluded from bankruptcy, from Chapter 9, which is the municipal bankruptcy provisions of the bankruptcy code. And the way Puerto Rico's municipalities got excluded is Congress added a definition of what a state is, and Congress said in 1984 that Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. are states for every purpose under the bankruptcy laws except who can be a debtor in Chapter 9. So it was quite clear that what the effect of this was to exclude Puerto Rico's municipalities from Chapter 9 municipal bankruptcy. Now, nobody knows why they were excluded. There's almost no legislative history on the definition of state and the exclusion of Puerto Rico, but it's quite clear Puerto Rico's municipalities are excluded from municipal bankruptcy. So against this backdrop, as Puerto Rico got into financial distress a few years ago, it actually had been in financial distress for some time, but the distress deepened. In 2014, Puerto Rico decided to take matters into its own hands, since it could not authorize its municipalities, which in Puerto Rico's case include particularly a number of public corporations, its electricity company and its water and sewer company. Since Puerto Rico could not authorize them to file for municipal bankruptcy, what it did was it passed its own restructuring law, which is usually referred to as the Recovery Act, and looks a lot like municipal bankruptcy in many respects. Almost as soon as Puerto Rico passed the Recovery Act, two bond funds challenged it, and the bond fund said that any Puerto Rico restructuring law, including the Restructuring Act, is precluded, and it's precluded by another provision in Chapter 9. There is a provision in Chapter 9, the provision is Section 903, that says, it's debated exactly what it means, but essentially it says that states can't pass their own restructuring laws. And what the bond funds argued is that in addition to Puerto Rico itself being excluded, its municipalities being excluded from Chapter 9, it also is prevented from enacting its own law by this preemption provision. Or to put it another way, Puerto Rico counts as a state for every purpose except who may be a debtor. The fact that it's not a state for the purposes of who may be a debtor means its municipalities can't use municipal bankruptcy. But Puerto Rico is a state for every other purpose, and one of the other purposes is this other provision in Chapter 9, 903, which preempts the states from enacting their own municipal restructuring laws. So the bond funds argue that not only were Puerto Rico's municipalities excluded from Chapter 9, but this preemption provision prevents Puerto Rico from enacting its own restructuring law, a Puerto Rico restructuring law like the Recovery Act. The district court agreed with the bond funds and struck down the Recovery Act. The First Circuit affirmed by a vote of 2-3, I guess you would say it's 3-0. The two judges joined the majority opinion. There was a concurring opinion which joined the result but disagreed with the reasoning. The Supreme Court took the case, and it was argued a couple months ago, and the decision just came down today. For the purposes of the argument and the decision in the case, there were only 7 justices involved. Justice Scalia, of course, had passed away earlier this year, so he was not involved. Justice Alito recused himself, so there were only 7 justices involved, and the 7 justices were the 4 liberal justices and the 3 remaining conservative justices. Now, based on this particular vote, it looked like Puerto Rico had a decent chance of winning the case, given that, in my view at least, the equities quite strongly favor Puerto Rico. It's a little surprising that the law would not give Puerto Rico any restructuring option. So as of the oral argument, it looked like Puerto Rico, which had started with a case that didn't look so promising in the Supreme Court, looked like they had a better chance. In the oral argument itself, it sounded like Puerto Rico had done quite well, and Justice Kagan in particular seemed to be quite persuaded by Puerto Rico's lawyers' argument in the oral argument. So at this point, and on another FedSoc podcast, I very confidently predicted that Puerto Rico was going to win this case. I may have even put a percentage on it, something like 70 or 75%. So one of the things I'm here to do today is to eat some crow, because Puerto Rico did not win the case, and they lost 5-2. They did not even get they lost 2 of the liberal votes, and they lost all of the conservative votes. So 5-2 vote, an opinion written by Justice Thomas. It's basically a no-nonsense, textualist, plain-meaning approach, saying if you read the provisions, Puerto Rico loses. If you read the provisions, its municipalities cannot file for Chapter 9, and Puerto Rico is a state for every other purpose that other than determining who can file for Chapter 9. That means Puerto Rico is a state for the purposes of the preemption provision, and that means Puerto Rico, like the states, cannot pass its own restructuring law. So where that leads us, and hopefully where we'll get later, is to whether Puerto Rico has other options. But at this point, what the Supreme Court has said is Puerto Rico cannot pass a restructuring law.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.